joyful.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
That's so it goes. Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobity boom boom. Scobity dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should it be harder for college kids to vote?
Those darn kids.
Those darn college kids. Is it a bad thing that they can just get out of bed, walk to their polling station, cast their vote, and get on with their day? Should we change that?
It's so wrong, Kristen.
844-967-2789. In fact, should we make it harder for anyone to vote? Is that what we're doing here? Or should we maybe expand our message to appeal to more voters?
Gosh, that seems like a lot of work.
Oh,
doesn't it?
That's hard.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's really hard to understand. Well, you know, just listen to people and tell you what they want is difficult. Mm-hmm. It's better to just make sure that they don't want to vote. Unless they're going to vote for you.
Well, there's that.
Unless they're going to vote for you. Of course, we're bringing this up because Cleta Mitchell. What kind of name is Cleta?
It seems like a very Southern.
I don't think I've ever heard that name before.
Seems like a very Southern.
Southern?
Name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Longtime GOP attorney. She's a board member of the conservative-leaning Bradley Foundation, which I read has assets of $1 billion.
Yeah, so they're doing okay.
They're doing it. And I always have a little, because Bradley Foundation funds a lot of conservative-leaning things, but they also fund a lot of arts. Like the Bradley Foundation funded the new orchestra, like the symphony
and
stuff like that. So it's not all things that we don't like, but certainly has a lot of influence and a lot of money. She's a board member for that group. But she's also someone who, helped former President Trump in his effort to overturn the 2020 election. In fact, she was on the call with Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. And then she didn't have to, but she did. She resigned from her law firm where she was a partner at Foley & Lardner. And now she runs an organization called the Election Integrity Network.
Uh-huh.
And April 15th, she was at an event with top Republican donors. And at that event, she was pretty adamant in that they need to curtail college voting and singled out Wisconsin, along with, was it Virginia?
North Carolina.
And there was one more. There's four states that she used as examples of those darn college kids that just won't vote for us. So let's make it harder for them to vote. So this was at a RNC donor retreat in Nashville. And do we have a clip?
We do have a clip.
Oh, great.
Take a listen to Cleta Mitchell.
We need to be looking at what are these college campus locations in polling? What is this young people effort that they do? They basically put the polling place next to the student dorm, so they just had to roll out of bed, go back to bed. And we need to build strong election integrity task forces in those counties.
Yeah, we just don't want college kids to be able to get up and go vote and go on with their day.
Well, I like that. First of all, you know, it's just this assumption sometimes of, and I don't know if this is, I think it is. I actually think that there's social data as far as when we've, you know, all the things that have been done as far as partisan polling of how Republicans see liberals and Democrats, how Democrats see Republicans. And I do think it's more one way than the other that Republicans see the left as lazy versus the same. I don't think the left necessarily labels the Republicans as lazy. There's other words that they group them in. But I love that, like, sometimes it's poor people, but in this instance, it's just the lazy college student that is just the only thing they're doing that day is sleeping and voting.
Nothing else on the agenda.
Nothing else. Just, I'm going to sleep in, I'm going to go vote, and then I'm going to go back to sleep. Whereas, granted, there are some college students, turns out, not a monolith. There are some that maybe do that, but there are many more, I would imagine, that are balancing working and school and other extracurriculars. I don't think there was a time in my life I was more busy than when I was in college.
Right.
As far as trying to take a full class load, work, and be in all the different activities that I was involved in. And so, so first, there's just that. But this also obviously comes on the heels of all of the things Scott Walker made the round saying post-election 2 weeks ago, as far as they're being indoctrinated.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he didn't go as far to say, we need to make it harder for them to vote. But still planting the seeds as far as this is an issue that we have to deal with one way or another.
Yeah, the inference is there that, again, these darn college kids are a problem.
So I guess, so the question being, is it too easy for college kids to vote? Should we make it harder? 844-967-2789. But I guess the other question that I have is, what does it take for any party, but I guess in this case the Republican Party, to realize that, why are they so obstinate against just having a more inclusive message and platform?
Because they believe they're right.
And that's so funny. It's just like the doubling down of, despite the majority, or despite us losing elections, which should indicate that the majority is not with us, but we are right, so we are still just going to push and power this through, so you can see, eventually you'll see how right we are. If we just get our way, eventually you'll come around to it.
Exactly. You'll recognize that we are right. We've always been right. And then you'll jump on board and it's going to be one big happy party.
Yes.
We have Ron from Milwaukee on the line at 844-967-2789. Hey, Ron, how you doing? Thanks for calling. What do you want to say?
Hey, I was a college student in the 60s and 70s, and at that time, when I was a freshman, the voting age was 21. And it was the Republicans didn't want to drop it to 18, even though there was a movement to do that, because, you know, we had all these activist demonstrators who were troublemakers and so forth. And then this idea began to blossom that said, well, you know, you're drafting 18-year-old college kids, forcing them to leave college and go fight in Vietnam, but they can't drink a beer and they can't vote. What's up with that? And eventually that idea won out, and so the voting age was reduced to 18. So ever since then, they've been trying to noodle this thing and make it harder again, you know, and make it, well, you should vote in your parents' hometown. In other words, get on a plane and fly back and then vote, you know, during the week or something. And the only other thing I'd say about this is, the mind you, the, you know, they make it easier for people, for example, in small towns, to go to a local site to register to vote and to actually vote. But they're all upset if anyone tries to make it easier for these college kids, because, like you said, you know, they don't have anything else to do today. Those long lines the other day on April 4th that we saw of college kids standing in line were because there was only like one voting area in schools like Madison with 45,000 students. So, you know, they're not being consistent here, and that's for a very good reason. Paul Weyrich, a Wisconsin conservative back in 1980, who was one of the founders of modern conservatism, was at a public conference one time and said, well, people are worried that not everybody can easily vote. And he said, hey, I'm a conservative. I don't want everybody to vote. Case closed.
I actually think Cletus said something like that before. I think in the lead up in the midterms of the fall, she said something around like, we don't want everyone to vote. And I think there is a sentiment of some people who definitely believe that, because they want only the informed people, not just the people who vote against them, but as far as should uninformed, unengaged people be able to vote. And the truth is, it's our right, no matter what. Why you vote the way you vote is none of my business. But thanks so much for the call, Ron. That's good perspective, as far as that there wasn't always, you couldn't always vote at 18.
No, right.
And you know, and there's been ebbs and flows of how engaged young people have been. And right now, They're super engaged.
They're fired up.
Because there is a lot of things happening that they realize is going to affect them. And it's as immediate as being a young person and wanting autonomy over your body, but it's also as long-term as like seeing the catastrophe that could be happening with climate change, and that, you know, the people who were making the decisions for so long are not going to be here to enjoy all of those climate catastrophes.
Right.
And that, right. And that they will be. And so we're talking about Cleta Mitchell and the leaked footage, leaked clips of her from an RNC donor retreat in Nashville on April 15th. Talking about how she would, how they need to handle the problem with the young people voting and how easy it is to now vote on college campuses. And I don't think, as far as I think with the increased popularity of mail-in voting, there is a big difference. Because as Ron was just saying, you know, before, if you felt like you had to like go vote in your parents' hometown, that was an easy thing to do. And now you have the option. You can either register at your college address, or you can stay registered at your parents' address. And either way, you have an absentee ballot, or you can vote in person if you vote where you live right now. And so would love to hear from you as far as how does this just impact, like when you hear things like this, especially if you're someone who's more moderate, you typically vote Republican. Isn't it embarrassing? I feel like if this was my party, I would be embarrassed as far as like, this is the tactics we have to do to win, because there's an entire demographic that just is not on board with what we're selling.
They don't like your policies.
We have a message on the Facebook Live where you can always watch Jane and I on As Goes Wisconsin on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. And Scott says, during Charlie Barron's live Cripescast pre-election, a Q&A asked, paraphrased, why do Democrats eat their own? And it was said Republicans are more unified on policy while Democrats are more across the spectrum of progressive stances. So Republicans are less likely to drift progressive inclusive. Oh, that's interesting. So as far as they're more unified in their message, is that what you understand that to be?
I would say yes, that they ideologically, they pretty much are in lockstep. 844-967-2789. We're going to keep this going. You can text and or call 844-967-2789.
All right, we'll be back in a minute.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Here's the news.
Should we keep college kids from voting, or at least the ones that don't vote for your party?
Those rotten kids.
We are talking about Cleta Mitchell, and it's not even a hot mic. She was directly saying it into the mic to a bunch of Republican donors on April 15th, basically saying, we got to do something about these college kids. And the answer was not appeal to them.
No, or talk to them,
or think about what they may want from their elected representatives. It was, we got to make it harder for them to vote.
We have one more clip from Cleta. Let's take a listen.
Wisconsin is a big problem because of the polling locations on college campuses. There are 501c3s. Their goal for the Supreme Court race was to turn out 240,000 college students in that Supreme Court race. And we don't have anything like that, and we need to figure out how to do that and how to combat that.
And that's a fair thing to say.
Sure.
As far as we have to figure out how to combat that by also having a plan to try to turn out young conservative voters or appeal to moderate, independent young voters. That is a different sentiment than the polling places being too close to campus are the problem.
Without a doubt.
And so that is, like, if you want to have a more robust strategy when it comes to turning out youth vote for people who vote Republican, that is what this is about. Like, the YAFs and the whatever of, like, the different groups that counterbalance the left-leaning groups that do voter turnout for young people. But that's not, it doesn't feel like that's what she's saying. And this feels, you know, at least when Bob Spindell wrote that email or got caught writing that email after the election last fall, basically boasting how Black and Hispanic turnout in Milwaukee was lower than it had been in the past.
Congratulations, us.
It's like, good job for us. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously this worked. And people were like, that's super racist and anti-democratic. I think you should step down from being on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He is not.
No.
He did hasn't. Not.
No.
But at least that was like an email also is like anything that can be screenshotted, you're potentially shooting yourself in the foot.
It's on the record.
But this was just so blatant. And it's almost like to be that blatant and to say the quiet parts out loud just show that they don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No, not at all.
And I go back to what I said before. I was like, I would be so embarrassed if that was my party of like, this is, I'm embarrassed even when Democrats, you know, the last couple cycles have, you know, pushed the more conservative, fringy candidate in the primary, thinking that they're going to be easier to beat. I was like, I just stay out of it. That's me. I think that's embarrassing. And so, but this would be wildly embarrassing.
Unless, of course, you agree with it. And again, it's our message is not resonating. So instead of changing the message, we're just going to make it harder for people to vote. 844-967-2789. You can text or call 414 checking in. Did you ever notice that the Dems do anything to get people to vote, but the GOP does whatever it can to keep you from voting? Ever-changing rules, long lines, makes you wonder which group really wants your support.
And it is interesting. I think this was a couple of weeks ago, Representative Christina Shelton, who's been on the show a couple times, she's up in Green Bay, she did not out the person who she had this conversation with, but she did say, she was like, I was having a conversation with one of my Republican colleagues. Mm-hmm. She did not say if they were in the state Senate or the assembly. And I'm paraphrasing this, but it was basically that she said she would rather risk her seat because she's in a pretty safe district. Like she's in Green Bay. It's gerrymandered to be very blue. So as long as she won the primary, likely she's going to hold on to her seat with our current maps. But she said that she was having a conversation with someone that she would gladly risk losing her seat in order to have a more competitive district. And the person she was talking to, who is also an elected official, said, well, that's generous of you.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, not
that's the way it should be. You should have to work and continue to earn your seat.
No.
And not just have it be a safe seat and the only fear you have is being primaried. That's generous of you. I would have loved for her to say who said that.
And doesn't that just speak volumes about why we're in such a mess? Because again, yeah, there are so many in our state legislature who are not working on behalf of their constituents. They're working to keep their jobs.
And keeping their jobs means keeping the party happy, which could also mean keeping Robin Voss happy.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And I swear to God, the only reason that we're seeing any movement from the Republicans in the state legislature is because they got trounced. And Robin Voss almost lost in his primary. And now it's like, ooh, gosh, I guess after 8 years of not having to do anything to respond to our constituents, now maybe, oh, we might have to. Rats.
They're turning out to vote.
I know. Gosh, what a terrible thing for democracy.
You know, I think keeping an eye on this is important because if they're willing to say this in public forums that can easily be reported on, and this is not something that got unearthed after like months of sleuthing and investigative reporting. This was like a couple days after she said it was news. And we clearly obviously have audio of her saying it. Same with the Bob Spindell email that got distributed pretty quickly after he sent it. It's just something to keep your eye on and know that their playbook right now is going to make it harder.
And just one other thing to point out, there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud. There's not. I'm sorry, but it's true.
We'll save this for later in the show, but did you hear about prove Mike wrong, Mike Spindell or Lindell thing?
This is great. Oh, it's great.
It's great. It's we'll just some details of it that we'll tease. It was a $5 million offer for anyone who could prove him wrong with all of his evidence.
Yeah.
I'll let you guess how it turned out, but prove Mike wrong. Then they did. All right. When we come back, Jesse Opoyan is going to be here. We're going to do a catch up at the Capitol. What's been going on? Who's talking to who? Who's not talking to who? What gossip does she have for us? Probably not a lot, but certainly some updates on bills that have been introduced and are going to be voted on. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are joined by Capitol Bureau Chief of the Cap Times, Jesse Opoyan, to do a little Capitol catch-up. It's been a while since we've had you on the show.
It has. I'm glad to be back.
How are
There's been nothing going on. I don't know why.
I know. It's not like you didn't have a midterm election and then a vitally nationwide watched Supreme Court election and... So are you breathing now? Have you take a breath?
I think I'm breathing a little bit. Yeah. I'm never going to say it's slow because that's just asking for things to get worse. But there's not a lot on the schedule right now.
Okay.
We'll say that.
That's great. So are you doing some self-care and some me time?
Oh God, no.
Well, you don't want it. You don't want to tempt the news gods by saying things are too slow, right, Jesse?
So exactly. Yeah. You know, you just embrace it while it's happening, and you know, we know the state budget's coming up, and it's the next thing's always around the corner.
So I guess it's been a little over 2 weeks since the election. It's been a little slower, but I guess that's why we still wanted to catch up and just see. Seems like there's movement as far as bills being introduced, bills being voted on. Some of which will probably never have a chance to get signed by the governor. Some of which already did. I think the reckless driving one passed and was signed. But as far as kind of like what's been going on in Madison outside of election news?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're seeing some proposals. Committee hearings are going on. The Joint Finance Committee is doing its on the road listening sessions throughout the state right now, which is always kind of fun to see what, you know, people in. Not in Madison.
Yeah.
Have his priorities in the budget.
Are you attending any of those, or is that?
I haven't yet. I think they're in Minocqua soon. But yeah, I always like to try to get to one, but I haven't yet this year.
Yeah.
yeah. But yeah, we've got, I think, coming up next week, they're going to have a hearing on Senator Devin Lemahue's flat tax proposal, which is something the governor's not interested in signing.
Yeah.
They passed another bill, the assembly passed a bill this week to expedite the testing times for sexual assault kits. That's going to go to the Senate. The governor said he's going to sign that, assuming that it gets to his desk. Mm-hmm. So there's some bipartisan stuff going on, and then there's some more contentious things.
So let's talk, is there any other besides the unanimous deadline, which is a good thing as far as setting a deadline when there's rape kits and stuff of actually getting those processed. Is there any other, we saw the bipartisanship on the reckless driving stuff, any other collaboration that we can celebrate as far as things getting done?
I think those are the big things right
okay.
now. You know, we might be getting closer on medical marijuana.
Yeah.
There's some reporting from the AP yesterday, but it doesn't look like we're anywhere near a compromise or cooperation on that yet.
Yeah.
So we'll take the two whole bills that we can actually agree on. Woot, 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 woot.
So then when we move over to some of the more contentious stuff that's being proposed, passed through committee, even potentially we'll have the votes, but we'll definitely not probably get signed. What does that look like?
Like I said, the flat tax thing's coming up.
But that moves from 3.2 5 to 4.5? There was just like a percentage difference-ish as far as the new plan?
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, that hearing, I think, will be interesting. Obviously, like we said, you know, it's not going to be signed by the governor, yeah. I don't think, by any means, but I'll be interested in hearing. I mean, we just haven't had kind of an out-in-the-open discussion about it yet, so... that'll be fun in the way that, you know, debating tax policy is fun.
Well, we actually did almost a whole hour yesterday on tax policy, and I thought it was fascinating, but we'll see how many other people we put to sleep. But so just to clarify with that, is that something that they're talking about putting in the budget, or is that something they're doing as a separate bill, the flat tax?
This is a separate bill. Okay. We may see it in the budget. It may look different. It may look the same, but this is a separate bill right now.
And then I know later in today's show, we're going to have Representative Robin Vining on to talk about some of the bills that sound like they're going to be voted on next week when it comes to getting people back to work, even though we have literally record unemployment as of yesterday. And so can you tell us more? We'll probably get more of a biased conversation in that. But as far as some of the facts of whether it's Medicaid or unemployment, or I think I saw one this week as far as banning individual cities from being able to do the universal basic income kind of programs. Yeah. I know Madison has a pilot program right now. I think Wausau got approved for a program. So some of those ones where it comes to workforce issues, what have those looked like?
You know, I haven't looked at them very closely, so I'm not going to be able to give you good details, but it's all the things that you just talked about, and it's nothing particularly new, I would say, in terms of proposals that we've seen introduced before, and just generally, efforts to restrict, you know, any sort of public assistance programming.
Which, you know, instead of, never mind. I'll complain about it more when Robin's here, since so Jessie has to keep her journalistic integrity and stay objective.
I know she does, but I thought it was all about local control. I thought one side in the legislature was all about local control, and these communities need to decide what's best for them, except when we decide what's best for them.
I think the guise of local control is definitely, it's got fewer legs to stand on these days
than it used to. But then I guess, is there anything else as far as bills that people should be watching out for, or movement on anything that you've seen, or it's been kind of slow as far as all eyes on the budget?
Yeah, that's the big stuff right now. The assembly was supposed to be in next week, and they canceled that session. So,
no,
don't know why.
Any reason in particular? They didn't say anything.
So it'll be even slower, I guess.
That's a funny thing of just, we're just not going to do our job next week. And we don't have to tell you why, even though you're the ones who pay.
Don't they have to fill out a permission slip or something? I mean, come on.
I mean, they're basically like, they get to say, like, these are the days that we could possibly be in session. And then they get to decide, like, closer to those days, if there's actually anything to take up. But if they don't have anything to put on the calendar, then...
then there you go. Well, then to pivot, I guess, a little bit back, and still I feel like the postmortem is not over for the election, because there's so much still to dissect, I think, going into 2024. And so one of the things you wrote most recently was kind of the resurgence. I don't know if resurgence is the right word, but how much the unions were involved in this election. And I think everything that I've always heard is kind of when Act 10 happened, how much that broke the unions in their ability to organize for elections. And so was some of the things you found as kind of a swing back towards that?
Yeah, I actually think resurgence probably is a good word for it. Pretty much, you know, every union representative that I talked to said, you know, they always get involved in elections, but they've never been so involved in a judicial race as they were in this one. This was an unprecedented level for most of those unions. I'm looking to get my number here. They at the state and national level, the unions contributed more than $560,000 to Protus Awitz's campaign and the Dem Party, and that's just, you know, the union PACs, not counting individual member donations, which we used to have an easier time tracking before some changes campaign. But anyway, they spent a lot of money. They did a lot of on the ground work, grassroots campaigning, knocking doors, making phone calls, you know, member to member communications on job sites. And, you know, they're very pleased with the results. Obviously, there's been a lot of conversation about abortion. And I was kind of surprised, but I guess I shouldn't have been, that when I asked you know, members of different unions who obviously have different interests and a variety of political beliefs, what they were most, I guess, looking forward to or hoping would come before the new court, it was redistricting. And looking at some of those, you know, Act 10 and other policies that affected unions in the last 10 years, right to work, prevailing wage, project labor agreements, they want to see all of those things revisited. Some of them, you know, would potentially like to see it revisited by the court, but there's also an argument to be made by some of the unions that if the state had new maps, the legislature could take action on those things in a way that might, you know, be more in their favor than the last time around.
We're talking to Jesse O'Poyan, who's the Capitol Bureau Chief of the Cap Times, and just doing a Capitol catch up as far as things that are happening in Madison, since she is there every day talking to people. And that's really interesting. And it goes back to, I think, it comes back to redistricting. And I think it's whether it's the ruling, because so much of what I feel like the criticism from the right was towards Janet Protasiewicz is legislating from the bench. And I would say most of us on its face don't want our justices and judges legislating from the bench. But if our only path to getting fair maps again was going to be there, then all of these other things that a lot of people care about can actually have a fair chance of being decided on by representatives who actually are representative of the state. And so it's interesting that was the connection of the unions of being like, well, listen, if we can get back to fair maps, some of this stuff that we care about doesn't have to get decided in the court. Like, we can actually make laws about it again.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. And also because, you know, yes, unions tend to donate to Democratic candidates, but you know that not every union member themselves personally is a Democrat or a Republican. There's a huge variety, and that is kind of the issue that they all, you know, were pretty motivated by.
That's super interesting. Anything else going on?
Well, what else? Well, we've got the 2024 Senate campaign has begun. Tammy Baldwin's in.
Yeah.
We've got Libertarian Phil Anderson, who has run for governor and U.S. Senate and state assembly before.
Wait, when did this break? I don't think I totally missed that.
At some point in the last week, he's in. But
okay, so this is Libertarian. Is he running as a Republican?
No, he's running as a Libertarian. There's still no Republican candidate.
Okay.
Yep.
And he's never won an election.
Correct.
Okay.
Is he independently wealthy?
He's like a real estate broker. I don't know.
Interesting. So run multiple times, never won, continues to run.
Yeah. I think, you know,
perseverance.
Perseverance, exactly.
Probably more than anything, just trying to push the, you know, a third party message or
a narrative.
You know, yeah.
Do you have any predictions or inside scoop as far as the people you think will run on the Republican ticket?
Well, I think Mike Gallagher is still on the list. Yeah. There's a businessman from Franklin whose name is escaping me right now, who I think is pretty much said he's exploring that option. Tom Tiffany bought some domain names this week to at least explore the possibility. But also has said that he would like to see Gallagher run. So,
interesting.
Then there's always sort of the perpetual, will Eric Hovde run or will he not, or will he, you know, fund a candidate? I don't think he's run for anything since 2012, but he kind of thinks about it every time.
Yeah.
we'll see.
Do you think the perception is, Jesse, that Tammy Baldwin's going to be tough to beat?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think we can expect that this is going to be another ridiculously expensive election. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of national interest in it. If you look at kind of the national handicappers, they put it out as a leans Democrat, which is sort of not quite solid, but, you know, better than a toss-up or neutral. So, you know, Tammy Baldwin is an excellent fundraiser. She's good at navigating issues that appeal to more moderate or conservative voters on some things. And, you'd be hard pressed to find a Republican who would say, oh, she'll be easy to beat. But, you know, that being said, they're going to mount a strong challenge, and it's going to be a hard fought race. Another one.
We get to do it all. We have a break though. Is this the longest break you've had in a while as far as time in between elections?
It might be. Yeah. It's kind of been a blur. I think this might be.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to think, is I guess maybe, because even early 2021, there was the state superintendent race, which wasn't not nearly as intense no. as this last race. So maybe there was a little bit of a break there, but yeah. Well, you've earned it. So I hope that you're enjoying a little bit of the breath. How's your dog? Your cocker spaniel or your cockapoo? Oh, sorry,
cockapoo.
Yes. She's totally doing
terrific as always. She's going to be 8 years old in July, which I can't quite believe. but I. When I got her during a non-budget year because I knew that I didn't want to potty train a puppy during a budget season. And here we are 8 years later, getting into another budget, and she's got it down pat now. She's used to
glad to hear she's potty trained now.
Yeah. I think she's enjoying this quiet time probably more than I am. She's like, but you're not leaving me all the time.
All right, Jesse Apoyan, always so fun to have you on the show. Thank you for your work. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Great to be here. Thanks, guys.
All right, stick around for the brew quiz, headline quiz of the week. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And a reminder that we actually have 4 tickets for Sunday's Brewers game
yes.
that we are going to be giving away at some point during today's show. And as a reminder, you can always listen to the Brewers on Civic Media's flagship Brew Crew station, WISS Oshkosh Air Support, as well as WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. If you don't live in those areas, you
not
can
a problem.
Not a problem, because you can download the Civic Media app and take those 2 stations with you wherever you go. So if you want to be able to, if you don't want to get blacked out by Bally Sports,
right.
as we talked about yesterday,
right.
Of maybe not being able to watch the game, but if you can always listen to the game on Civic Media, specifically on WISS Oshkosh Air Support and WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. And so we're not giving them away now, but we do have 4 tickets. I think we're going to give them away as 2 pairs.
All right.
So we'll have 2 chances to win.
For Sunday's game,
given away at some point today. If you've already won tickets this month, you can't win again until next month.
You have to wait. It's 1 winner per month.
Yes. We need to spread the wealth.
Definitely.
We want many people the opportunity to award them the opportunity to go see the game, because we have pretty good tickets.
Yes.
And so
Fancy Brian and Luke Mathers were there and have used some of our tickets, and I think they said they were pretty good.
Yeah. So keep your ears alert, because we'll do that at either during the second hour or the third hour, because we're almost done with the first hour, so it's clearly not happening now. But what is happening now? It feels like we haven't done this in a while, but we're doing the Morning Brews weekly news quiz. This is where I get a lot of my news every morning. It's very quippy, the way that they write their newsletters. It's good variety of things that are happening in the world, and they do fun things like this that we can then do on air.
I love it.
So basically it's 5 different questions, multiple choice of news that happened this week, and we're going to see if we can get a perfect score. All right. Question number 1. Which bank did Apple partner with to launch a high-yield savings account? Now, I knew that they launched the high-yield savings account. I don't think I remember which bank they're doing this with.
I have no idea.
J.P. Morgan Chase?
Hey.
Bank of America? Morgan Stanley? Goldman Sachs? I'm going to say Chase.
And I'll say J.P. Morgan.
That's the same thing.
Oh.
J.P. Morgan Chase.
Oh, sure. Of course it is.
Not to be confused with Morgan Stanley.
Oh, okay. So what are my choices?
J.P. Morgan Chase.
Okay.
Bank of America.
Bank of America.
All right, you're going to be.
I'll go Bank of America.
Number 2. What are Starship's engines called? Is that the Elon Musk?
The one that went kaplooey?
The one that it was a what was it?
It was an unscheduled disassembly. Kaboom.
What are Starship's engines called? I may not do well in this either. Either Raptors, Pistons, Doges, or Super Mega Boosters. I kind of want it to be Super Mega Boosters.
I feel that. But I'm going to go with Raptors.
Okay. We'll see what it ends up being. Number three, who recently became the highest paid player in NFL history with a $255 million contract extension? Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, or Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts.
Yes, that one I know for sure.
Okay.
And also, his agent is a woman.
Cool.
She's one of the, like, she is the, that's the highest, I mean, it's the highest ever, but also, like, there's not a lot of NFL player agents that are women.
Right.
And so, all right, number four, which popular young adult franchise is reportedly getting a television reboot?
This is a terrible idea.
Twilight, Artemis Fowl, which I don't even know what that is, Divergent, The Maze Runner.
It's not Harry Potter?
I'm
going to say Twilight.
I think the Harry Potter's for sure happening, but that maybe that was older news.
Okay. Then I'm going with Twilight.
Okay. I will also go with Twilight. And then number five, an AI-generated song that mimics which two artists racked over 10 million views on TikTok last week? Dove Cameron and Khalid, Drake and The Weeknd, SZA and Phoebe Bridgers, Sam Smith and Kim Petras.
The only recognizable person to me is Drake, so I'll go with that one.
All right, let's see how we did. We have 4 out of 5.
Hey!
Not bad.
That's not too shabby.
The first one, and then we both were wrong with the bank. Oh. So Apple released a savings account with Goldman Sachs.
Oh, all right.
So, Starship's engines are called Raptors.
Ah! See, that just seems like an Elon thing to me. Ooh, let's
Super call it- Mega Boosters doesn't seem like it. I feel like...
Raptors implies danger.
Jalen Hurts became the highest paid player in the NFL. Twilight is getting a television reboot. An AI-generated Drake and The Weeknd collaboration hit 10 million TikTok views before the song was stripped everywhere. Because it was on Spotify. I still haven't heard it, but I read about it a lot this week as far as just it blew up, but it was not actually their song.
Yeah, and that's kind of a bad thing about AI.
It's the way that it is going to rip off artists is a real thing.
Yes.
Both visual artists and also music artists. I think there's going to be some really great advantages of like copywriting and stuff like that that is not real creativity, that it's just useful. It's just kind of like blog writing that has to get done. Like
sure.
It's stuff like that. But when it's actually sampling and taking people's artistry,
that's scary.
Yeah. But all right, well, when we come back, we're gonna talk later in the show. We said we have Robin Vining coming up.
Yes.
And then in the last hour of the show, there's two things being celebrated tomorrow. There's Earth Day, and there's also record store day, which I didn't know was a thing. But we're gonna have a downtown Waukesha record store owner, Dan Schneiderman. It's Vinyl Vault Records.
Vinyl Vault, yes.
And
I just passed it this morning.
Perfect. And so, yeah, so it's downtown Waukesha, so he's going to be here. And we're going to talk about just physical media. I feel like it's a topical for the conversation we had on Wednesday about how Netflix is getting rid of their DVDs. And just the value that physical media still holds. And I think records really symbolize that. So we're going to talk to that. And then we're going to have a professor of microbiology who is part of a team that has been researching a cure for addiction is going to be here when we come back. And my big question is, because in order to research this, they used mice, which means that the mice had to have some cocaine, I think. And so what does a mouse on cocaine act like? I'm so curious. I can't wait to ask. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.